is Tennessee Talks with United States Congressman Tim Burchett.
Hey, everybody. I'm Congressman Tim Burchett, and welcome back to Tennessee Talks. Today, we're going to do a Q&A. That's question and answer. I've told my office I don't like initials, but they keep doing this. Episode and answer some questions that folks have submitted. And I'm also excited. You probably noticed this deal right here. I'm excited to announce I'm launching a Rumble account where I'll be posting all my content, including Tennessee Talks, on Rumble. Are you ready to Rumble? Has anybody ever said that? I'm sure they have a million times. YouTube, unfortunately, has been known to censor some conservative viewpoints. I know that might come as a shocker. They've taken down some of my videos with my buddy Steve Bannon in the past, which I find awful. Kind of ticks me off. I thought this would be a good time to get on Rumble, where they don't censor folks who fight for the truth. And that's what we're trying to do. Make sure you like this video and follow Rep. Tim Burchett on Rumble. So let's get started on these questions that you all have submitted. Folks have submitted these questions, and they didn't put their names on them, so I'll just read them out. And that's a siren. That's a good thing that's a fire truck. If that was the police, I would have thought, hey, they're coming after me. But what are your plans to end the domestic child trafficking, not just the trafficking that is being caused? We still good? I guess we're good. I'll start over. What are your plans to end the domestic child trafficking, not just the trafficking that is being caused from the open border policies before open borders? It was an estimated industry of $38 to $50 billion. Now it's over $100 billion. Well, I actually, when I was in the state legislature, passed a lot of bills dealing with folks that were going after our children. From when I was in the state house, when I was in the state senate, actually passed the death penalty at one point, and it was deemed unconstitutional. And I still support that. And Tennessee apparently has enacted that again, and I believe they've gotten the courts are considerably more conservative than they were back then, and so they're going after them pretty strong in Tennessee. But I've always said I never want to be president. I never could be president at this stage. I don't have the billionaires behind me, and I have a few millionaires, but not enough, I believe, to carry me over that finish line. But I've often said if I was the president of the United States, I would call a press conference during the news hour, and I would say, I'm giving these countries and these groups 1 month to stop this, stop it now. I said, or we will cut off all aid, any trade at all with these countries at all. And then I would go to the United States Congress and I'd say, this is the bill, a very clean bill, let's pass it. And anybody that opposed to me, I would take Air Force One to their state or their county or whatever, and I would politic against them, and I would make them defend their stand on this. This is the most reprehensible thing that there is out there. It's the sickest thing going. That's the one thing that keeps me awake at night. I worry about that. You know, we've had 100,000 kids come over our border that this administration knows zero about where they are, and your mind doesn't have to wander very far to find out, to think about what hell those kids are enduring. The sex trafficking, the slavery, organ harvesting, and all this pathetic stuff. And honestly, those people need to be killed that are doing that. They need to be eliminated. That's it. I'm sick of it. It's gone way too far, and I honestly don't know how much longer God's going to let this country exist when we allow stuff like that to happen. What is your plan for cutting Social Security and Medicare? I don't have a plan to do that. That's always, they always throw that out and say, the Republicans are doing this, Republicans are doing that. I haven't seen any plans. I've been here 6 years to cut it. Now, some people have some plans to make in 10 years in the future, moving the age of people that would be able to apply for some of these programs, but it wouldn't affect anybody currently. And honestly, a lot of people, if you ask somebody that's 30 or 40 or even 20 what any of these programs are, they wouldn't even know what they are. And when we talk about cutting them, that's just to drive people with the polls and to scare people. And some people across the aisle use those tactics. And they apparently use it pretty effective because they keep doing it. But I've not seen any current plans of doing anything like that. How can I help clean up the swamp? And thank you for all you do for us. Well, two things. You can pray for our country, first of all, where it's past the point of political parties. I feel like we're really in a state of almost spiritual warfare right now, just good versus evil on a lot of these issues. The other is vote. 20 million conservatives decided to stay home on election day, and that's why we have a dawdling old man who in the White House who has been under certain proceedings. The lawyer said that he was not capable of standing trial, and this is a guy has access to the nuclear codes and oversees the nuclear football, and it is an election year, and I think people need to take full advantage of that election. And it's not a swamp. A swamp is something that's been, I've been in a swamp. They're pretty cool. It's a cool little ecosystem, and this is an open sewer. It just all flows in and nothing flows out. It's stagnant and it needs to be completely gutted. How are the American people supposed to survive with the hits we've took? Groceries, everything you have to have. We have used our savings since President Trump left. Nowhere to turn. Social Security is our income, but nothing else. And that's a pretty poor income. Well, we've got to vote. We've got to do something, you know, and I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I believe in one of the last local elections, it was less than 15% of the population votes. And it just seems it just keeps getting worse and worse and less people vote. And I think the people in charge, they like that. They dig that situation because they're not going to be held accountable, and they know they can sway that very small minority of folks, and that's how they stay in power. I'm from Georgia, but grew up in Tennessee, which is, as you have said, God's country. I tried to contact you on your website, but had to have an address in your district. I want to thank you for stepping up and standing up for what is right, and God bless you. Well, thank you. God has blessed me. When will we have a law that prosecutes illegal aliens when they violate our laws, especially rape and robbery? When we have people that think like we do in the White House and controlling the United States Congress and the United States Senate. You know, sometimes some of my problems are with my own party. I expect the left to be a bunch of anarchists and they're Marxist philosophies, openly Marxist philosophies. But when we get blowback from people in our own party, I wish people would pay more attention back home to what their legislators are doing and how they're voting. Because it's very telling. They go home and preach the gospel, throw out the red meat at the Reagan Day and Lincoln Day dinners, and, you know, dadgummit, they come up here and they just vote you down the river. And we keep electing these same folks. I'd like some accountability. And that's what I think will happen to these folks. So we got to have some law and order back up here. What is being done, if anything, at the federal level to ensure voting security and election integrity in the upcoming general elections? Is there anything that we, the general public, and your constituents can do to help in that effort? Thank you. Yeah, that's a great question. Election laws, or the federal election laws, are voted on by the federal government, but you have to understand that the federal law says that the state government has control over your elections. And that's the problem we had in the last election. You had court clerks that were moving polling places, putting unlocked boxes in neighborhoods and things like that that just should not happen. And there's no verification in some of these places. And, you know, there's just a whole myriad of different things that were going on that were being done at a local level that were, it's illegal, because the federal law is pretty clear that it has to be the state government to make these laws. And that's why it's so important to vote in these state legislative elections, in the local elections, because that's where these things come from, and then we're left with what we got. Why are politicians avoiding talking about the BRICS alliance and the new trade belt created by these countries to stop using and weaken the U.S. dollar? The election, I feel, is keeping it quiet. Markets fear this too. Well, for those of y'all that don't know, the what BRICS stands for, it's an alliance that was formed by Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And there's more members wanting to join. And I don't really feel like right now that BRICS alliance threatens the U.S. dollar. The dollar is still currently still the currency that's used in international trade. And BRICS doesn't include a country with a stable enough currency. Maybe the only country that has a decent enough GDP is China, and they manipulate their currency so much, it's bound to hurt the other BRICS members. And I don't really feel at this point that BRICS is a strategic threat to the U.S. at this time. Of course, it's always, as they say, you close the barn door after the cows got out. I think it's something we should clearly be watching and paying attention to in these countries, and we should use our economic power to coerce these folks if we have to do what's right and possibly get out of bed with the Chinese. Can you tell us anything of substance with regard to classified UAP briefings, not asking for details, just a binary yes or no on the existence of NHI, non-human intelligence? Well, we've had testimony, sworn testimony, by former military that these non-human intelligence does exist. I've talked to some of our top pilots, one of the top pilots in the world, happens to be one of our pilots, of course, who told me, and I will never forget this, he said, "Tim, that thing was 14 feet from my canopy," and he went like this, like it was right there, the craft, and it's clearly not one of ours, because we wouldn't put one of ours put one of our own in harm's way in a $50 million aircraft and a well-trained pilot. So yeah, there's something going on. There's a cover-up. But the truth is that we've got to find out, we've got to find some transparency in this issue, and we've got to hold these folks accountable. And in the Pentagon, they've never passed an audit in the history of audits. They can account for over $500 billion in assets. Now, what's an asset? I mean, it's anything from a pencil to an aircraft carrier, but $500 billion, that's pretty excessive. And they're very arrogant about it. You're going to have one little punk, I would call, with a man bun and a little smart aleck attitude, tell us that this is it's basically a figment of our imagination. And then I have a literal war hero tell me what they've seen. And there's a couple different trains of thought in that. And I would hope, and what's only way we're going to get this, the only way we're going to get any real answers out of this, I feel like, is that if the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, has the guts to expose this thing for what it is. Artificial general intelligence is coming. What is Congress in general and your cybersecurity subcommittee doing to stay ahead of national security issues related to artificial intelligence, like AI lab security and Chinese theft AI secrets? Well, anytime the Chinese, of course, are involved, Washington, D.C. is in bed with China, the communist Chinese, their lobbyists and so forth. They want the investment in their communities. And I feel like a lot of members of Congress are compromised, and this whole town's compromised. And China, of course, is waving the greed in front of the green in front of us, and there's a greedy bunch of folks up here. I serve on that committee. Nancy Mace chairs it. And the thing that struck me is odd was that the group up there that we really don't understand it, and I made the comment that they, you got somebody still listens to 8-track tape player is trying to legislation dealing with AI. Nancy's pretty good at bringing in some very qualified people that are trying to educate us, and then we can educate the rest of Congress. And I hope that we can get ahead of it. What I worry too is us passing legislation that ends up hurting an American industry without, I don't know that the regulation will work just because of how it changes so fast. It's an incredible metamorphosis from what first started out to where it is now, and where it will end up, we don't know. But it's pretty scary, actually, some of the stuff that comes out, because you get this stuff on your phone, on the computer or what have you, and then people call me and say, did you see this? Did you see that? And I look at it and I say, well, I don't know if it's even real or not. So unless you see it or hear it with your own eyes or your own ears, I'd say it's pretty suspect right now. So I'm worried about us trying to regulate something, hurting our industry, and then the Chinese just go around us because they're not going to follow any dadgum rules. So we have to be real careful there. I'm concerned with the immigrants coming into this country and in Tennessee. Is there a plan in place to track where they are, who they are? Are they being vetted? Will they be able to vote in November? The answer to all those is no. And will they be able to vote in November? People tell me no, but then I see indications of them being able to vote in local elections. So they're in the system. They get false identification. Some of these we found out that they've been issued false identification. So in fact, yes, they will be voting in November. How many, I don't know. But the problem you really have is like California and some of these areas like New York, where all the hardworking folks have left, are just tired of all the shenanigans. Then you leave some poor folks who can't get out. And then what do? They backfill them with illegal aliens. And you say, well, why the heck would they do that? Well, the census. The census will be taken in the census, and they fought us like with tooth and nail on the House floor. And of course, it won't go anywhere in the Senate because they love that. So the census numbers will be taken. It doesn't count registered voters versus non-registered voters, which we tried to get, or American citizens, excuse me, versus non-American citizens. So what happens is they backfill them with illegals, and you actually had a Democrat member of Congress urge people to come to her district, these illegals, so when the census is taken, she can have obviously an inflated district that she would control that would have very few American citizens in it. And yet it would be, and it would, we know that about, there's probably 15 or so Democrat-controlled districts that are filled with illegal aliens, and they would not be in those numbers. They would not be Democrat-controlled districts if accurate census numbers were taken without the illegals. Let's see. There are 28 Tennesseans affected by the weaponized federal government for their actions on January 6th. Many of our representatives have done nothing for them or their families. What can you or your district do for them? Well, if their families are, if they're in my district, the district I represent, 2nd Congressional District in East Tennessee, they can call the office and we can start making some inquiries. That's what you're wanting is to get them out of jail. And that won't happen under congressional activity, I can tell you that, out of this Congress. There's some talk that there could be pardons for some of these people. And so, you know, I had people that were here on January 6th. It just came up, just tourists, literally, church groups, other people. And a banker I know, he and his wife were up here. And they left before any of the stuff happened, before the riots or whatever you want to call it. And the FBI came to their house, literally came to their house, and because they'd posted that they were going to be in D.C. on Facebook. And to me, that's an incredible overreach. There's no proof or anything of any of them breaking the law, yet that level of weaponization or harassment by one of our federal agencies to me is pretty despicable. I think it'd have a chilling effect on democracy. I like the vast majority of FBI agents are great people. They're patriotic. They're veterans. They're there for the right reasons. But you've got some in leadership that clearly have another agenda, and that's been made pretty clear, I think, in testimony. Let's see. What, if anything, is being done to slow down the massive rate of development, overdevelop in West Knoxville and Farragut particularly? Well, I was mayor of Knox County, as you know, and Farragut's within Knox County. Farragut has a board of aldermen, and Knox County has a county commission, and there's overlap there. That is not a federal issue, and I'm not going to comment on that any further. That is a complete local issue, and that's where it needs to be handled. You do not need United States Congress getting into local zoning laws, or you will have a catastrophe on your hands, because we are big on the one-size-fits-all, and I can guarantee you what works in New York City or Los Angeles or Washington, D.C. has no place in Knox County or in East Tennessee. Can you propose a bill that would mandate a website include an app that has to be legally be updated every 24 hours to show where every federal dollar generated from income tax is being spent? Yeah, I could do that. It would probably cost millions of dollars every year, and they'd have to hire a bunch of bureaucrats to do it. I tell you what would be better if we could just have single spending bills, single source spending bills, not like what we have now, a 3,000 or 2,000 page bill that has billions of dollars spent. Because what happens is, well, you know, we haven't passed a budget in D.C. since I've been there. They haven't passed it, and I think, in over 30 years now. And so what that would do was every bill, every spending implement would have to be, every time something would come up, a congressman from that district would have to go down to the House floor and explain that spending, and they do not want to do that. These continuation CRs, continued resolutions, all that does is continue the bad policies from before to the current. And then that's why the lobbyists love that, and the old-timers love that, because in a 2,000-page bill, what you do is you go through it until you come down to page 32 or whatever, and it has your what you need, your bridge to nowhere, your spending, your pork project, whatever. And then they stop reading, then they vote for it because their piece of legislation's in there. And that's what happens. That's why they do not want to do that, and we'll put legislation forward, and it goes nowhere because we don't have the guts, either party, to fix a very bad problem. Let's see. With areas of Tennessee not having hardwired internet or cell service, when are we going to improve that situation? Well, currently our state legislature, I believe, has done what's called enabling legislation. That's why you're seeing public utilities get in that business. I fought that for years, and I'll tell you why, because it is a public utility getting into private business. And they use your tax dollars to leverage a better deal, and then they put people out of business, and you grow the government or these quasi-government agencies. I'm a capitalist. I think let that work. And I realize, though, that the internet and other things are needed now. It's not like it was 20 or 30 years ago, but it is still something that is, it's growing exponentially, of course, and with AI and everything else. So I'm very cautious about that. But the state of Tennessee has been working through the legislature, I know, to implement that. And I noticed even in Knoxville, KUB now is getting into that business and others. So we'll see how that works. I believe that's the end of my questions. And I want to thank the good folks at Rumble for helping me get started on getting in with them. And whether you submitted a question today or not, or you're just watching, I want to thank y'all so much for tuning in and participating today. And I'm Congressman Tim Burchett, and I want to thank y'all for listening to Tennessee Talks. And as always, thank y'all for sending me here. But make sure to follow me on Rumble at Rep Tim Burchett, REPTIMBURCHETT. And thank y'all for sending me here.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Tennessee Talks. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Keep up with Congressman Burchett by following Rep. Tim Burchett on Twitter and Instagram, and Congressman Tim Burchett on Facebook and YouTube.